A quick warning, this episode contains language some might find offensive. Billie Eilish's first album, titled When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go, was a sensation in 2019. It swept the major categories at the Grammys and established the singer as a huge pop star. Eilish is back with a follow-up called Happier Than Ever. It's a quieter, subtler collection that examines the singer's relationships, reputation, and place in the world. I'm Stephen Thompson, and today we're talking about Billie Eilish's new album Happier Than Ever on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capital One. With no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision. Kind of like Taylor Swift choosing a cardigan on a chilly day. And with their top-rated app, you can deposit checks and transfer money anytime, anywhere, making Capital One an even easier decision. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome back. Joining me today are two of our pals from NPR Music. Letitia Harris is an NPR Music contributor and an editorial assistant for the podcast Louder Than a Riot. Welcome back, Letitia.
Hi, Stephen. Thank you.
Thank you. And also, we have Ana Maria Sayer, producer for Alt Latino. Hi, Ana Maria.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. I'm so glad you guys are both here. So, Billie Eilish has kept busy since the release of her first album. She's put out a handful of freestanding singles, including Everything I Want, which won Record of the Year at this year's Grammy Awards. Her James Bond theme, No Time to Die, won a Grammy and is likely to figure into next year's Oscars race, assuming it ever comes out. Now she is back with a new album called Happier Than Ever. These songs are entirely homemade. They are written and performed and recorded by just two people. That'd be Billie Eilish and her brother Phineas O'Connell, who's a producer and multi-instrumentalist and engineer, not to mention a singer-songwriter in his own right. The two of them made Happier Than Ever during the pandemic. Its existence was basically made possible by the fact that they couldn't tour. And it feels appropriately interior. This is a headphone record that touches on heartbreak and self-acceptance and society's treatment of women, the perils of fame. Sonically and thematically, it feels to me like a departure from the album that made Billie Eilish a star. That album delved really deeply into anxiety and coming of age. This one grapples more with fame and bad relationships, as seen with the benefit of perspective. Speaking of the benefit of perspective, we are having this conversation late Friday morning. This album has only been in our lives for about 12 hours. So bear that in mind as we process it. Ana Maria, I'm going to start with you. What did you think of Happier Than Ever?
Wow. Okay. I'm definitely still processing. I like listened when it came out last night. I've been listening all morning. I'm like trying to just put thoughts together. It's definitely something that, you know, I simultaneously felt super prepared to understand because she released so many singles before it came out that I was like, I'm going to know what this album is. I'm going to know the sound. I mean, also, I'm like, I was not expecting at all. Hearing those singles put together with the full body of the album, the most striking thing about it to me, it is so, so intentional and authentic to her. And it is her message. It is where she is in her career, in her life right now. She talks about really taking this authority and this kind of creative control over the album. It's just her. It's just Phineas really kind of just doing what they do best and kind of collaborating as this team to make something that is super, super true to who she is right now.
Nice. How about you, Letitia?
Yeah, I agree with everything Ana said. I think I was really surprised by how much I loved it, honestly. It's a really strong conceptual project. It really heavily relies, like Ana said, like on personal experience. But like to me, listening to this, Billie is the main character on this breakup record. And it sounds like she's saying goodbye to a toxic partner, kind of taking control of her life. And like we can interpret that toxic partner as like an actual ex-boyfriend or like, you know, the fame and the spotlight and like how she wants to steer her career post this moment. And it kind of honestly sounds like a villain origin story, kind of like Harley Quinn leaving the Joker. I really love it. There are a lot of different sounds, but it's still super cohesive. Like, there's choral gospel, there's bossa nova, there's this sultry nightclub jazz, acoustic guitar, like really great production work from Phineas.
Yeah, I mean, I will echo what you guys said. I think it's a really strong record, but also a very surprising one. You know, I came into this record really, you know, I'd heard the singles. I knew that she had kind of shifted into a little bit of a quieter, more kind of vocal-centric sound, but I was still expecting, I think, more kind of top 40 bangers than this record is really bothering to deliver. You can really tell that she is an artist who has been given more autonomy than most young pop stars get to have. You can just imagine a label listening to this record and being like, where's Bad Guy? Where's our big chart topper? And, you know, there are songs that do have a, like a harder edge to them that are catchy, but this is a really reflective album. I was saying before we started recording, this feels like her fifth or sixth album. This feels like a fifth or sixth album where an artist has kind of gotten a lot of pop hits out of their system and is now being more reflective, looking inward, thinking about their place in the world and kind of slowing down. It feels like a pandemic record, but it also feels like it's coming from farther into her career than it is. It sounds like the work of a 27, 28-year-old instead of the work of a 19-year-old. And I think that is really, really impressive. And you talk about the sound of this record, Letitia, you mentioned the influences on this record. She has said she was influenced by jazz singers. She was influenced by a singer named Julie London. She was influenced by Peggy Lee. You know, and you hear this torchier quality to her vocals, which are really, really strong here. I was really surprised by that. I wanted to ask you guys about kind of what for you were some of the standout songs, because you could go in any number of directions with this. How about you, Ana Maria?
Oh my God. I think the title track, 100% Happier Than Ever, is absolutely a standout for me. I think it's kind of like, to me, you know, all over this album, it's like, what do you do when you've redefined pop a little bit? Like, where do you go from there is kind of like what kept running through my head leading up to the album. And then now that we're here as listening to it as well. And so Billy was like, well, I already did Billy and now everyone's doing Billy. So I'm going to kind of go and do my own thing now, which I think you really see and hear in a lot of these tracks. So Happier Than Ever, you know, is she happier than ever? I think so. You know, she talked about having a lot of fun working on this album, writing this album, producing this album. She released a post on Instagram, I think, being like, you know, this is the best experience I've had making a record, that type of thing. But she's turning it on its head, too, in this song. You know, she's saying, like, I'm happier than ever, and this is my kind of, like, to make a recent comparison, this is my good for you song. I don't relate to you, no, 'cause I'd never treat me this shitty. You made me I think that we see that throughout the album. I think, again, like Oxytocin, I'm seeing a lot of that. She really went back and kind of like made an interesting sound there that's both like deviating from what she's had before, but also like is true to Billy in that she is playing with form. She's playing with that production. She's making something that is not necessarily what we would describe as being characteristic of her, but is nonetheless form-breaking and interesting and in that sense true to her. Goldwing, too, really interesting to me. I was raised in a Mexican Catholic family, went to mass every Sunday. So I hear those kind of like church-esque choral sounds, and that's immediately evocative for me. Hearing that, I mean, she goes from the choral kind of sound and then she totally switches. She totally makes a different sound in there. And I think like she talks about on her kind of like Spotify exclusive little thing that she did like a lyric version, a Billy version, kind of created different listening experiences. And she talks about wanting to make this a song about like purity, kind of someone who is like pre-trauma, pre-experience in some ways. That's kind of what she was trying to evoke here. And so the question that that brought to me was, is this her speaking to her pre-fame, pre-first record self? Or is this kind of like her trying to pair kind of this purity sound with what I would classify as like a more typical Eilish sound in hopes for what she will become or what she will reobtain? And that's kind of like, I think maybe a thing that keeps coming back to me throughout the album, is this her reclaiming herself and trying to be something that she was before, or is she trying to be something totally different?
I think that's so interesting, Anna, because when I was listening to this record, like what you said, Stephen, like there is no bad guy in this record, but it doesn't miss for not having a bad guy. I think it's so much better for not having a bad guy. And I feel like it's consistent in making a bunch of different elements like suited to her voice and suited to like this like kind of sound and soundscape she wants to create. And like, it's such a interesting and risky move. Like, what pop star in the world can make a sophomore album that sounds like a sixth, more developed seventh album, you know? Like,
at 19 years old.
Exactly. It's Billie, and she's just taking these like risks and just doing whatever she wants. Like, it feels like so defiant and so singular, but also like it feels so familiar at the same time. Like, she's working with like who she wants to be and who she wants to present herself to people as, but then also like doing it in this way that like calls on the roots of why we fell in love with Billie Eilish, you know?
Yeah. I also wanted to highlight a more kind of a spoken word track called Not My Responsibility. This is a really tricky kind of song to pull off because she is singing, kind of speaking about being Billie Eilish and having her appearance, her body, her clothing examined on the world stage in a way that would be incredibly difficult for any human being of any age to deal with. And she's speaking about it in a really frank way, in a really kind of sonically striking way that still feels universal, that still speaks to what young women everywhere are going through. And that is such a tricky line to walk because it's very easy for huge stars to sing about being huge stars in ways that really feel unique to them. And this manages to feel distinct to Billie Eilish's experiences, but have larger resonance for millions and millions of people. Let's actually hear a little bit of that song.
If I wear more, if I wear less, who decides what that makes me, what that means? Is my value based only on your perception? Or is your opinion of me not my responsibility?
There's a lot going on in that song. And on one hand, it's very blunt, it's pretty literal. But it is also capturing a lot of the themes of this record, just about going through the world, constantly examining your own place in it, and constantly having your own self-examination bouncing off of other people's perceptions of you. It's a very, very striking song. And I think that excerpt kind of speaks to some of the real quietude of this record, where she's speaking very loudly in a whisper in ways that I think are very, very powerful.
I think it's such an interesting track because it was the one track that like really pissed me off for like completely different reasons. It took me a while to understand that she was talking specifically about fat phobia and how her body's been perceived. And I feel like Billie has a very interesting relationship with surveillance. And throughout this entire album, like the watchful eye and the judgmental mind, like Billie tries to navigate like where she falls on each end. But this track specifically, when I was listening to it, I was taken out. Because to me, what I was hearing is more or less the idea that what people think of her isn't her responsibility, which is completely true. But my biggest critique of Billie is, you know, her appropriation of Black culture and how she kind of uses it to her advantage. So when I heard this, I was like, you don't think that people trying to hold you accountable for what you're doing is your responsibility, and like you don't have kind of responsibility to respond to that and like be more responsible with what you're doing? And I don't think Billie will ever admit to appropriating Black culture because she truly thinks that, you know, it's who she is. But what's so interesting about Billie Eilish to me is that she kind of represents the intersection between the music industry and the pop machine performing at its peak as it, you know, shapes itself around hip hop and Black culture. And then also internet culture performing at its peak as it steals from Black culture. So it's like that relationship to Blackness is so intertwined with her. So when I heard this track, I was like, what, Billie, what are you talking about? And then it goes into Overheated, which is literally like a Timbaland light beat.
I don't really even know how it happened. I started talking, they started laughing. I don't really even know how it happened.
On one hand, she's singing about a very valid discomfort with paparazzi harassment, so I can't be mad at her because, you know, she's a young girl under surveillance experiencing fat phobia and having her entire body, like, picked apart by the masses for no reason. But on the other hand, I really deserve to be mad at her for being a cultural vulture. This record and these two tracks together, when they play out, it's like her being picked apart for being a woman is what's at stake and what she wants to talk about and what she's singing about, and that's the emotional weight of it. But what I'm interested in is, you know, the responsibility she has to talk about her relationship to blackness, you know? So these two songs together, I was just like, whoa. It took me out of the album a lot, but then it went into, you know, the, like, whole run of singles, and I was like, okay, well, I can think about this because I've already heard these songs before. And then it went back into Happier Than Ever, and I was like, okay, I'm back in the album, but I have some bones to pick with you, Billy.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. She's doing all this kind of self-reflection, but then also receiving all of this criticism and just the din of response that I'm sure is overwhelming. But the trick is, like, you feel like you're doing all this reflecting, but you don't necessarily want to be impervious to all criticism. You don't want your response to be, I'm no longer willing to engage with this or listen to it. You know, I think when we're looking at, like, where does Billie Eilish go from here, that would seem to indicate a potential direction. Like, there's still, obviously, there's room for growth. There would have to be. She's 19 years old.
Mm-hmm. It's just kind of the trap of being a woman. It's like, all of these critiques levied at you, like, obviously, you're going to have to grow some thick skin and, like, tune it all out. But some of it is valid. And it's like, being able to distinguish what is not founded and what is founded, I think will be a really key consideration for Billy moving forward.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Letitia, like, all of what you're saying is so representative of, like, something that I think about a lot in terms of just, like, these young artists who really, like, do have these massive careers, are these faces for what is, like, pop right now that is not only a creation of what they make it, but also, like, is co-opting a lot of different, like, cultures and experiences and all of that kind of stuff. And I think with Billie specifically, like, she has to toe this line between, you know, I'm 19 and I have all of this fame that I, like, potentially, I guess you could say, didn't ask for in some capacity. And also at the same time, like, but you are this person and you are this image and you are this representation. And so, you know, every choice you make does count and does matter. And, like, I think it's a really interesting question of how much is she allowed to still be like, I'm just going to be 100% authentically who I am with no regard for what that means in terms of my impact, and how much do I have a responsibility to kind of temper that a little bit in the interest of knowing who I am and knowing how people perceive me.
Yeah, exactly. It's a really difficult line.
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of leads into my last question, and we've touched on this a little bit, but, like, where do you see her going from here? Like, as I said, you know, near the top of the segment, like, this feels like a fifth or sixth album. Like, where do you see her taking that from here?
I think my thing is, I'm not really interested in where Billie the musician goes, but I'm interested in where Billie, like, the art director goes. Like, her, like, creative vision and, like, the things she sees and the things she curates. Like, I want to see her direct music videos. Yes. I want to see her, like, be in charge of things and just, like, have, like, I want to see her, like, take her vision on to other people's projects. And, like, I want to see her collaborate a lot more with other people.
Yes. Oh, Letitia, I'm, like, so right there with you. There is not a doubt in my mind that she is absolutely not just, like, a talented artist, songwriter, but she is one of those minds that is, you know, defining culture in all kinds of ways. And so I think, like, when you have a person like that, there's no limit in terms of where, especially now. I mean, we're seeing artists put themselves kind of be creative in all kinds of spaces. And I think, like, there is no limit to the amount of options that she has in terms of where she could go next. You know, is it visual? Is it in this realm of producing? Is it something totally different we're not even anticipating at this point? And I think she has just that capability to ideate and to innovate in ways that none of us could possibly anticipate. So when answering this question of where is she going to go, like, I hope I can't predict it.
I know.
Like, I hope exactly. None of us can predict it. I'm like, go do whatever you need to do to be creative. And, like, I'm on the ride with you. I'm ready.
I know. I will sit back and watch, Billy. Just do what you want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you've said. And I really want to second what Letitia said about A, collaboration, and B, direction. You know, she has started to direct her own videos. She has a really, really interesting sense of color in the way that she just presents kind of visual art on screen. I would love to see her direct, but I really, really agree with the point. She's working within her comfort zone here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very important thing for her to do at this stage of her career. But I think a lot of that growth, a lot of the reflection we've talked about, a lot of kind of synthesizing some of the ideas that we've kind of even talked about in this episode, that's going to come from sitting down with other artists and making art. You know, she's working with a brilliant producer, and she's working who is also a family member. Mm-hmm. And that is really exciting. And that has produced, I think, two really, really, really strong records. But I think the next step growth-wise is going to be stepping out and not only bouncing her ideas off of other people, but kind of synthesizing some of the ideas that come her way. I think she can do great things, and I think we're all excited about that.
So excited.
Well, we want to know what you think about Billie Eilish. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thanks to both of you for being here.
Thank you, Stephen. It was so fun.
Thank you.
And thank you. We will see you all tomorrow.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal, host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. After a year and a half of broadcasting from our bedrooms, we are returning to shows with real live audiences starting August 5th in Philadelphia. Don't worry, we will still have our beds on stage with us. Join us.